When it comes to the greatest of all time, the GOATs, pick an industry. You know the names. Basketball, Jordan, tennis, Serena, world leaders, Mandela, food, Frieri. But one GOAT debate has yet to be settled. It's the GeoGuessr debate. Who is the greatest of all time, dropping pins on a GeoGuessr map? We'll find out over 8 rounds, 8 weeks, GeoGuessrs from around the globe, the best the internet has to offer. This is Pinheads, the GeoGuessr podcast. You're listening to Pinheads, the show that crowns the best guesser in town, and it is race day, Eric Ryder. The gun sounded early this morning. Actually, it was Michael Buffer, and you could feel it. Ooh. Monday mornings are usually pretty miserable, but I don't know about you. I woke up and said, I have a case of the Mondays, and I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, let the wild rumpus begin. The anticipation for this has been absolutely just brimming here in my house. And I know from our discussions and the enthusiasm, as well as seeing that we have 173 players as part of this tournament, some really marquee names. I mean, we have Twitch handles on here. We've got people who are showcasing their YouTube channels. I mean, we have been kind of scouring the scene of who is all part of this tournament, and it's impressive. Woo! I've been excited.
Yeah, I've been following GeoGuessr Michael ever since he was guessing on Firefox back in 2015, and to have him on our competition, truly incredible. So this was a world map. We got started with the pretty traditional, the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes of GeoGuessr, just your classic world map, 5 rounds. But what we found pretty quickly, and there might be some conspiracists out there who think, well, it's three American guys that are doing this podcast, that are kind of running the show. It was pretty America-centric today, as we saw with three of our guesses. So why don't we just dive in and tell the folks listening at home where we were? So I'll run those through. Round one, we were in Maple Heights, Ohio. Looks like a southern section of the great city of Cleveland. Round two, we went in a very different direction. We went east, far east, to Anaka in the Gunma Prefecture of Japan. Beautiful highway in the mountains. We'll get into that with our guest Karen coming up shortly. Then back to the U.S., kind of close to where we were in Maple Heights. This time, we were in a suburb of what looked like Huntington, West Virginia. That's Marshall University. If you're a football fan, where Randy Moss went to school, we were in LeSage, West Virginia. Then we went back east, again, very far east, to a suburb of Perth, Australia. That was one that gave folks a lot of trouble on round four, kind of separated the pros from the Joes. And then lastly, we were back in the USA, and we were in your state, Eric Ryder. We were in Colorado, due north of where you are, up on the Wyoming border where Colorado State is, in Fort Collins, Colorado. Those were our 5 places on the map. We'll get into it with our guest, Karen. But Eric, you played the map. What were your overall thoughts?
My overall thoughts was, as soon as that first map popped up and I saw a Dollar General, I immediately kind of sighed to myself because of exactly what you brought up. Three Americans leading a GeoGuessr podcast, and the first thing you see is a classic American store. So a little U.S. heavy, but I certainly got some diverse locations within the U.S. I know as soon as we went outside of the U.S. and got to Japan, that really started to test some skills. And then I was really happy that an Australia map hit the first round of the tournament. Australia has always given me fits where it looks kind of like a lot of other countries. And if you guess Australia and you're wrong, it's detrimental to the score. And if you guess somewhere else and it is in Australia, whoo, then you are really in for it. So yeah, I was thankful that I actually got close to the Australia one. So I'm still in the running, which is awesome. But overall, the maps I thought were really great, gave good diverse locations, really just a good baseline to set this tournament off right.
Yeah, and let's take a look at the leaderboard. Right now in first place with a perfect score of 25,000. You know him, I know him. The world might not have known him before, but they know him now. Oh, it's Muko. Muko, the Italian GeoGuessr, has an incredible knowledge of the middle of America, which makes a ton of sense being in Italy. So he nailed 25,000 points. That's 5,000 points straight on every single round. We're going to try to find out more. But honestly, I haven't seen an Italian explorer like this in a very long time. I mean, there are a lot of great Italian explorers from back in the day. But Muko's pretty great.
Yeah, you don't need to look further than Amerigo Vespucci, who discovered and America is named after. In any case, when I signed on and I had my score, I was feeling pretty confident. So when I see the Italian stallion Muco dropping 5,000 bombs round after round and doing it not just within like, oh, I'm within like a couple hundred yards, which I've gotten a few times and it makes my day. We're talking 4 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard on the last one. Like, give me a break. That was awesome. I was lights out. I mean, clearly, I didn't think I was competing for the title anyway, but this is extremely impressive.
Yeah, so our producer, Deuce, has already contacted Muco to try to get a sense of, like, Muco, this score is going to stand up. There's no way anyone's touching you. You're going to be in first place after round one of eight here. This is 8 weeks, one map a week, so still plenty of time for all of you who aren't Muco. And luckily, it's not an aggregate score thing, so his 25,000 points, it doesn't matter next week. You're either first or you're last, Ricky Bobby. But with Muco, Deuce checked in, and Muco said he got lucky, which Deuce and I were talking right before he started. The good thing about the world, the Earth, it's not that big. We're not playing GeoGuessr Jupiter. If we're playing GeoGuessr Jupiter, GeoGuessr Saturn, you can't get lucky with just a guess. But look, I think Muco has a point. If you close your eyes and you drop a pin, you just might get it within 10 feet. And it looks like he did that 5 straight times, which is pretty incredible.
I mean, it's incredible would be kind of where I would be.
It's believable.
I mean, maybe he has an awesome affinity for Fort Collins, Colorado, knows the CSU mascot logo super well that was on a sign just right next to the highway, and knew that he was right outside the Foothills Preserve. I mean, you can be in the game and you can get there. Is it luck? I don't think it's luck. I think it's a lot of skill on his part. He's got to have the skills. I mean, he is right now, he is paying bills with all those skills.
Ryder, you know what they say, practice makes perfect. And in this case, it literally made perfect. You can't get more perfect than this. I actually heard, I want to bring Deuce in quickly. Deuce, is there veracity to this rumor that when you asked Muco how he got the one in Ohio, Ryder mentioned a Dollar General. The way I heard it, this is through the grapevine, is that Dollar General, he remembered it because he was scouring the United States for his favorite licorice candy. Twizzlers, you say? Oh, no. He was looking for red vines, notoriously hard to find, but he found them at that Dollar General in August of 2006. And you don't forget a Dollar General that has your favorite licorice. You know where it is. You know it's outside of I-480. You know it's near I-77. You know it's just south of Cleveland. Deuce, what did you hear today?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. One of the things he said at first was he's very good at orienting himself. You know, I said basically, how did you do it? This is phenomenal. We need to know the tips. He says, I'm really good at orienting myself in the U.S. He went on about this trip that he had for a Mecca of going home, going to the motherland, as he called it. And I kept asking, you know, what is this? And he says, oh, you're not aware. It was for red vine. I said, the licorice candy, the Twizzlers. And he said, what's a Twizzler?
Oh, he didn't know.
And he kept on saying, red vines is the absolute best. Yeah, absolute best. Red licorice candy you can have. And he came to America, to Ohio. Actually, I believe Ohio was the first state to have a Dollar General. So that being the case, they get the freshest red vines a Dollar General can have, which is 4.5 years old. So that is exactly how we got there. So he saw that sign. He said he felt it in his more so his lower gut to say, I've been here. I know this. Looked at his map. He has a map up on his wall, corkboard pins, saw picture of a red vine tacked up on Ohio. That's exactly where it is. Looked at the map, looked at the other map on his screen, boom, dropped the pin.
When you know your entrances of tunnels in Japan, I mean, you're on a new level too. That's something where you actually know industrial architecture well enough to have the builds right of which tunnel you are in Japan. That's just, I'm not there. I wish.
He knows licorice and he knows civil engineering. And so you've got to have a lot of different interests. You got to be really good. Now, we're going to have our guest on pretty soon, but one other thing, Ryder, that I know we were talking about is there are some corners of the internet that feel as though what Muco and a few people at the tippity top of the leaderboard are doing isn't real guessing. And to that I say, how dare you? However, there is one man, one canine actually, who kind of has made this his life's work to root out the evil and the cheating from a GeoGuessr game. He usually comes up empty pod because no one's cheating. That's the GeoGuessr watchdog. And we're really, really lucky to have him. We're really lucky to have him with us.
Yeah, he was hard to get. He was hard to pin. I mean, he just retired as a police dog from Fort Collins, and he was, you know, looking for something else to do. He wasn't quite ready to, you know, lay down and sit. He needed to find something else. So the GeoGuessr watchdog, I'm actually really proud that we were able to get him. You know, it took the three of us to sand him treats and take him for a couple of walks, but we had the GeoGuessr watchdog. Legitimately, this dog can get into the fine details of data. He can look at, how'd you play in this round? Where was it? Where have you played on other rounds in that area? How'd you do on Battle Royale? How do you do on streaks? How do you do on this? How do you do on that? And he can come up with certainty if somebody may be, you know, doing some foul play, if someone's not fetching the right way. And here's what else he can do too, and he thinks this is good. He doesn't necessarily play well with other dogs, and he doesn't like it when other dogs play well with other dogs too. He's not a dog park dog. He's a solo dog. But if he sniffs out that some other dogs could be feeding other dogs their dog food, he's not going to like it. He's not going to stand for it. He's going to get proof. So if you're doing any type of sketchy, you know, passing the balls off to each other of saying, hey, I'm going to tell you where these maps are, this watchdog is going to find out. He's going to dig up that bone. He's going to sniff it out. He's going to shit on your carpet. So if you think you can get away with it, not with this GeoGuessr watchdog. You can see him. He's playing the maps. Look at the leaderboard.
Yeah, it's, you didn't think we were going in this tournament just blind and with honor system. I mean, we got the watchdog. This guy trained with Scruff McGruff in Chicago, Illinois, 60652. He has been cracking down over the years, and we got him, and he is in here. So you better be scooting on the carpet if you think that you're going to be scooting your way through this tournament without any sort of watchdog looking over you. And we got the GeoGuessr watchdog, and he's on the hunt.
In all seriousness, it is a person, and he is phenomenal at tracking this stuff down. Like, the data he's come up with already is phenomenal.
He's got a nose for this stuff. He knows how to sniff around. Speaking of rounds, we want to get into the five rounds with our guest coming up in just a minute. That is GeoGuessr's very own Not Karen. Spoiler alert, her name is Karen. But her GeoGuessr name is not Karen.
No, her GeoGuessr name is Karen. She throws you for a loop on Instagram as @notKaren.
Don't edit that out because we make mistakes. Unlike, you know, the best GeoGuessrs of all time, we do make mistakes. And so we want to be, you know, raw and unfiltered with those. But we'll get a word from our sponsor. Then we're going to come back, talk to Karen, not Karen. And so we'll hand it over to our sponsors.
Look at your fingers. Can you see yourself in that grease reflection? You're going to play GeoGuessr with those greasy sausage links? No, that's not going to work. You need to get yourself a snack that keeps your fingers dry and your gut happy. Forage is a granola that comes infused with functional mushrooms like lion's mane. Look it up. It's good for you. Baked fresh, delicious, good for your gut, keeps your fingers dry. Everything a GeoGuessr player is going to want to go out there and win that battle royale. You want to play like a champion? You got to snack like a champion. Forij.co. Forij.co. Forage.co.
All right, we have just wrapped up the first round of 8 rounds on Pinheads, the GeoGuessr podcast. We had 173 people take to the world. And we are thrilled to have our first guest with us to break it all down and tell us about their love of GeoGuessr. And that is Karen, also known on Instagram as Not Karen, but Karen in real life. And Karen, it is so great to have you on the pod.
Thank you so much. It is a delight to be here on the Pinheads podcast. I am stoked about this tournament, albeit also a little nervous, especially after the first round. So thank you so much for having me.
It is great to have you here. So we wanted to start off by asking you, how long have you been GeoGuessing for?
So I started playing in 2016, way pre-pandemic, in the old times. It's been a long road in it too, you know, the game has changed a lot since then. It's really grown. The population of players has just like completely boomed. So it's been really awesome to watch it change. And I'm just totally stoked on how many players are getting involved all across the world. It's amazing.
And how did you how did it start? How did you stumble upon it?
So it was linked to me by my best friend, Matt, who just kind of knew my love of maps and was like, oh man, this game is right up your alley. And I was hooked immediately. Like, it was just like, I hit the ground running completely.
Awesome. Why do you love the game? You know, that would be my question is like, what about it has had you been playing for, you know, 5 years plus?
5 years. Yeah. Don't say it like that. That's a long time.
Hey, I wish I'd been playing for 5 years. I might stand a chance in this tournament.
You know, I was talking to my husband before this and he was like, you know, you might have hit 10,000 hours at it. And I'm like, don't tell me that. I don't know how much time I've spent. But no, I was one of those kids that was just super fascinated with maps. You know, if I went to the library, I'd check out a book that was just pictures of maps. Nat Geo turned to the map page. Like, it just kind of all made sense when this game was created. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the ultimate game.
Are there certain times of day or week you find yourself playing more often than others? I'll give you an example. Sometimes I'll play a map before bed. It's why we have a king bed, so my wife can look and say, I can't believe you're playing again, and go all the way to her side of the bed, while I can sort of do a country streak and play until I fall asleep or I miss one. It's really great. Karen, when do you like to play?
That is pretty much it right there. It's the end of the night. I'm dead tired. I'm ready for bed, but I need that like thing to help me fall asleep. So I'll play a few rounds and just, you know, they say that you shouldn't be looking at your phone before you go to bed, but I think if you're looking at your phone and playing GeoGuessr, it'll help you go to sleep. Also, weekend mornings when I'm slightly hungover, I think it's the best thing in the world. You wake up, have a little bit of coffee, play for 2 hours in bed. Oh my gosh, you guys, highly recommend.
What is the longest marathon geo-guessing streak have you gone for? You mentioned 2 hours, but I have a feeling we're not getting close to the record.
No, probably at least six would be my guess. I don't want to know. Don't want to think about the stats. But it's truly enjoyable. And, you know, it has been not a pastime. It's like an engaging activity. You learn so much. You're just like connected to the world. It's can't say enough good things about it.
Do you have a favorite map?
Oh, just throw me in a world, just full world. And nice. I mean, the world map has changed a lot too. You know, it used to be that it was truly a world map. It was like, you will be in rural Russia for like 90% of the game.
Yeah.
They've slowly, you know, tailored the map over time to be a little more weighted to certain areas. So you'll notice in the world map description, it mentions that you'll be, you know, in places that include New York City. And prior to the updates, that was not true. Like, you would never end up in New York City simply because of the number of rural roads. But now you actually do. I played the other day and I ended up in downtown New York and I was like, huh, interesting. They updated it.
Is there a certain map that gives you fits?
Oh, I played this one map that was like remote islands and it was, I forgot what it's called. It's pretty popular. I think if you just search like islands, it'll be the first one that pops up. But it was gnarly. I mean, it's basically like a rural island. There are no streets. So you're just put on the beach with no context. And you're like, okay, where am I going to go?
Amazing.
Someone made that to be cruel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're going to dive into the maps in just a second, but we wanted to ask Karen, so, you know, you have 2 minutes and we're not sure how you usually play, but 2 minutes we've felt like over time feels like a good amount of time to get your bearings, to take a look around, to zoom in. And then maybe with like 20, 30 seconds left, you really, it's kind of time to start making your guess so you don't get timed out. So there's a little bit of time management involved. We'll say this, 2 minutes we have found is enough time for people to use some outside sources. And we wanted to get your take as a purist of the game and a reader of the rules, because the rules were right there. You know, what's your take on cheating?
Oh, man, you just opened a whole giant can of worms. So,
all right, I'm ready for it. Let's hear it.
I am very anti-cheating. I just simply live by the principle of don't cheat in your life. And it is very rampant on GeoGuessr. So I know I mentioned that, you know, world map main page, when you load the world game or the world map, you know, it'll show you the high scores. And the top score is like 25,000 perfect round in 8 seconds. And I'm like, you for sure like ran some scripts for that. Like, there's no way that's possible. So when I saw that, that kind of opened the door for me of like, okay, so people are definitely cheating at this game. I don't know what satisfaction people get out of that, but it really grinds my gears.
Us too. You're in the right place. You're in the right community. So let's jump into the map, and we want to give people an update. So the map started today. That's Monday, March 29th, 9 a.m. Eastern. It's going to run until Monday. Okay, April 5th is the next Monday. at 8:59. All right, so we're gonna dive into this map. I want to give folks just an update of where we are now. I think we've had, how many people have finished so far? Over 70 people have finished. Scratch that, 82 people have finished by the time we're recording. I just want to give folks an update of where the people who are on this podcast are. So I'm in 14th. I feel pretty happy about that, given my place. We're going to get into where Eric Ryder is, who, Eric, let's be honest, when we play as a group of 10, you're usually around 5th to 7th within a week. We play like 5 games in a week. It's like a Monday through Friday.
Yeah, on a good week, yeah.
Ryder, you were one timed out map away from probably finishing in the top 5, which is just wild. Your geoguessing skills have grown. I'm really proud of you, man.
Hey, thanks. Am I sitting here kind of like clenching my fists and my teeth, wishing I just dropped that pin? Yeah, you bet I did. But hey, that's the game. Live and learn. Move on to next week.
That is the game. And Karen, you are in the top 50, currently in 46th right now. Ugh. And we're going to get into kind of your experience with the map, which looks like, just from the scores, started strong and then a couple of tough ones near the end.
You bet. I am angry. This was cruel. But I truly enjoyed it. So I hope that this, my score is not a reflection of how great a GeoGuessr player that I am.
Oh,
because I definitely hold myself in high regards, but this was just a bad round for me. So let's get into it.
Well, you beat out Fireburst and Pink Swiper, and if we know anything, those are pretty good players. So you're in good company.
Fantastic.
All right, so let's jump in. On round one, we were dropped, and the first thing you see is a U-Haul truck, which kind of tells you might be in America. Why don't you talk us through how you navigated this map?
Yeah, so I am a quick scroller, so I don't use the, I just click down the street as fast as I can after getting a really good sense of what I am seeing in the first, you know, shot. So it's really more of a feeling, like I can see that I'm in America simply by the trees, the U-Haul truck, the kind of feel of the whole image. It's a bit intuitive at that point. So yeah, then the whole point then is after doing that, to scroll down the street. Usually I actually make a U-turn. So whatever direction I'm facing, I turn the other way, which is a weird tactic that I use. It tends to work for me. I don't know why.
I do it sometimes too.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't work every time, but it's just like a way to start. But the way you were going there, so we're heading, we see a freeway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really great sign for me. The moment you see a freeway sign, you're just like, it's home free. You know that you're going to find some sort of answer. The first thought before I started scrolling was that I saw this looked like Middle America. It's kind of flat. There are a huge variety of trees. It's very green. The streets are wide. There are a lot of big cars. So I thought, okay, Middle America. And then I saw the freeway sign, and it's the freeway number, I think it was 85 or 84, no, 480. And so then I popped open the map, and I had a minute left, and I was just frantically searching for the 480 around the Indiana, Ohio, Illinois area, and ran out of time. And so I made a quick guess in Ohio. And I ended up being a major city away. So that was very exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dropped it in Toledo and not too far away. I mean, getting there right on the Great Lakes. And so for all the clues that you had and knowing 480, I mean, that's a good guess.
Yeah, I've been to Columbus and it kind of had that vibe to it. So yeah. I was like, you know what? This is a risk I'm willing to take.
All great use of context clues, and that interstate, that freeway sign is always a really good giveaway. I was able to click a little bit farther down, and I think I'm pulling up on it now for those of us that are looking at the map. And I saw Toledo, Youngstown, and then I saw like a 77. And that was able to give me a little more context. And I found 77 in Cleveland. I don't know how much you both use the compass, but I realized we were probably heading kind of north, and so I put myself underneath it, was able to get pretty close.
Nice. Yeah, you went a lot further down. You must click like as twice as fast as I do. I kind of take like a leisurely stroll. I'm like, here I go, just taking my time. But great find. Look at that sign, Toledo, Youngstown.
Yeah,
there it is.
It's a big one.
Karen, I was right there with you. I thought, when I looked at it, I saw a Route 14 sign with the Ohio, you know, state logo. So for those new players out there, learning your state and the signs, and the great one about Ohio is that it's literally in the shape of Ohio. So I knew. I was there. I knew I was there, and I dropped it outside just west of Columbus.
Yeah, I think it helps if you know the shape of states or you've maybe been to that state, especially for America.
It's for sure.
Useful, yeah.
Or sometimes you get really lucky and just like, you know, you can just drop a pin anywhere in the world and, you know, be within, you know, a few yards.
That's why we play, right?
That's why we play. That's why we play.
All right. We're going to move on to map number two, which most certainly wasn't Ohio. Even if you didn't know anything else, you kind of had a feeling you weren't in Ohio. Karen, what was your first? It looks like you got pretty close here, if I remember on the map. You were in the right country. So talk us through.
Yes. So this one was probably the... I don't want to say the easiest because Japan is always very difficult unless you know Japanese. But just looking immediately at the guardrails, the red sign with the speed limit that would be displayed there.
Wow.
And the sort of mountainous terrain, I knew that it was Japan immediately, which was super exciting. And then I kind of figured, okay, we're way up in the mountains. There's some snow on the road. It's going to be center Japan. And then I took into account the fact that most of the Japan pins that I dropped tend to be near Tokyo. Ever since they updated the map, it just things tend to be closer to major cities. And I thought, you know what? Can't go wrong with Japan. Can't go wrong with Tokyo. Just for context, I scrolled a little bit down the road, but I didn't find anything that actually really helped me. So I ended up just dropping it in the mountains outside of Tokyo. And there you go.
Great call. Speed limit signs and the guardrails, that's some expert geo-guessing. Shows that you've played a lot of world maps. That's very impressive.
For those newbies out there, Ben, if you zoom in on the back of that truck, it says All Japan. So that's where So to hear all the context clues, sometimes you get lucky and there's a sign on the back of a truck that says All Japan.
That was map two.
There you go.
Let's go to map three, which, again, kind of brings us back. Karen, you mentioned that Middle America feel. But this was tough. There weren't a lot of dead giveaway interstate signs. What did you do here in map three?
This one, definitely America. Double yellow down the middle. The houses look so American. The signs are green, just like in America. You kind of can't go wrong with that, right? And then I did see a sign in this one for a city called Barbersville. And I got the idea in my head, barber, like French. So it might be Southern America.
Huh.
And so running out of time, I quickly selected something near Atlanta. And this ended up being West Virginia. So not too far off, but just far enough that I didn't get a ton of points for it.
Really interesting to hear the way you use context clues. I think this will be great for some of our newer players at
home. Amazing, yeah.
Ryder, this was your downfall because, again, we talked about this. You were pacing for like a top five round, which is incredible. And you timed out, which is just one of those things on the 2 minute round that you have to be mindful of. What happened for you?
Yeah, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. I you know, when we get to the initial location, you're looking down, you see a little bit of a few stores. A key go-to for me are signs that are hanging on the side of fences. Usually those have towns, phone numbers, zip codes, or even maybe a URL on them. So I actually found one that had a Harbersville, West Virginia tag on it. And so I knew I was in West Virginia. So I thought I had dropped the pin somewhere in the great state of West Virginia, and I didn't. So that when it popped up and it showed me pinned in the middle of the Atlantic, I was furious. But that's okay. That happens. And I thought to myself, hey, I don't stand a chance at getting even close to the top of this game anyway. I'll just keep making my way through the round. And then when you brought that to my attention, yeah, there's a reason I'm enjoying this beer a little too much right now.
Those are the breaks.
That's a well-deserved beer. You know, we all forget to drop pins. It happens to the best of us. So just nourish that feeling.
All right, map four kind of separates the leaderboard. I feel like the first three maps, most people were able to get the right country, the right close enough in the country. I think two out of three of us, Karen, you and I missed pretty significantly here, and we'll have to ask Eric Ryder what he saw to nail Perth, Australia, which is a city on the western coast of Australia, whereas everything else in Australia, for the most part, in terms of populous cities, is on the east or in the central part of, or not the central, the sort of the east part of the country. So what happened here, Karen? What were you looking at when you were in Perth, Australia?
Oof, you guys, this was a tragedy. It just was a complete loss of this game. And the reason that I'm in 48th place? Is that what it was?
46th.
Yeah. You know, it's better than what I thought. Yeah, so this for me looked like Australia. The white line down the middle, the types of trees that I saw, just the structure of the buildings, the signs. I was like, okay, we're definitely in Australia. I thought, okay, mid-Australia, palm trees. You know, maybe not tropical, but more California-esque. The thing is that I was going off the context of the Australian pins that I've dropped before.
Mm.
So if you know Australia, Perth is 3,000 miles away from every other city in Australia. So simply by probability, to drop something in Perth is to take a huge risk.
Yep.
The chances of it being out there are just very, very slim. And most games I've played in the past that include an Australian pin, it's almost never Perth. It's usually outside of Sydney. So I thought, you know what? 30 seconds left. Can't figure out where I am. Dropping the pin. Wow. 700 points. Real bad. Real bad game.
So I was with you, almost a case of no feeling like you know too much. And so I got to kind of strip of businesses. Now, I had a friend of mine who's playing say they saw Phoenix Massages and they put it in Phoenix, Arizona. Rookie mistake. That was tough.
Ooh.
That's bad, yeah.
I knew it was Australia as well. And what gave it away for me that it was definitely Australia was the Sunday Times, the Australian. So there's a newspaper, oh, nice. The Australian. So I feel pretty good. Then I don't know if it's here, but the next business I saw was called West Vet. And I saw West Vet, like a veterinarian's, and I think if I click, I'll see it. And I think it might be down this way, but I thought to myself, West Vet. Well, the only city in the West is Perth. And I started to think to myself, I bet it's Perth. But then, Karen, I said, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm so wrong, and I don't feel good enough on that guess. It could be like West Melbourne or West Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it. And so I stopped there. But Ryder, the reason you got this is, I don't know if it was this bus in particular, but on the side of the bus, you can see the name of the bus company. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Yeah, baby. It's Trans Perth. Totally missed the Australian, but I saw the Trans Perth on the side of that bus, and I knew I was in Perth, Australia. So it's where you two, being a lot smarter than me, actually work to your disadvantage, and me being an idiot going, I have no idea where I am. I'm just going to keep clicking, and managed to find something that said Perth.
That is so impressive. Like, buses are very hit or miss. You know, sometimes it'll just display the name of the bus company, or it'll just purely be advertisements. But you got so lucky, and that is incredible.
Let's go to the fifth, and we are back in the U.S., but at your first look, Karen, I'd be curious. Did you know you were in the U.S.? Like, if you couldn't have moved on this, which is a fun way to play, no moving, no zooming, would you have known U.S. at this point, or did you have to do some clicking to figure that out?
I definitely had to do some clicking. So to know that this is the U.S. right off the bat would be, you'd have to know trees really well. There's really no other way about it. Or fencing. Or the types of cars, the car on the left there that's, you know, sold in America. And all of that is a bit too much for, you know, a casual player. So yeah, if you click down the street, you get to a major street right away. So this is the one that I thought was California, Northern California. So if you come out into the street there, I think I turned to the right and I went up, saw the double yellow, immediately just started looking at signs. And just trying to find something that made sense to me. This is the one that I ended up scrolling the furthest on without getting a lot of answers.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, I might have been a little nervous and thrown off because of my complete failure in Australia. And I was like, okay, how do I make up time? I think my nerves got the best of me. And so I just kind of went with a gut instinct rather than investigating a little bit further, which is not always the best choice. So I knew this was a little bit northern in America, you know, like I said, the double yellow, the wide intersections, it's much more green. So I thought, okay, it cannot be, you know, Southern America or Western Southern America. If you look at the gas station, I was trying to remember what, you know, brands are where, what gas station brands are where. I did not recognize that one, but I was just, again, pressed for time and stressing out. So I chose Northern California, and I would be wrong. It ended up being Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Woo! So
I was very on point. Like, if you look at the line on the map, I was on the right plane of of existence. But definitely, I'm curious how anybody got Colorado out of this. It's very interesting.
Ryder, why don't you start? Because I think you got pretty close.
Yeah, well, it is an advantage that I do live in Colorado. So there is... Go. Yeah, sorry. But knowing that it was Fort Collins, the way that I got it is from where you start, you actually scroll that main road. There's an imports car dealership that's next to you that has a phone number on it and a 970 phone number. That's what told me that I was in Colorado. So that was automatic for me. So I went straight to Fort Collins. And then as I scrolled down the road, was able to see the CSU mascot logo for the Foothills Preserve, which I've been to many times. It's due east of the northern shore of the Horsetooth Reservoir. So I knew when I got to La Platte Road, I was like, oh, I'm in my element. This is fantastic. Dropped a pin, managed to get it pretty close.
This one took me a while, Karen, like you. I think I might have guessed with about 15 seconds left, and I'm having trouble retracing my steps. I found nothing. I don't even think I got to that gas station. I did take a right like you did and saw the stop sign, which told me US, saw the double yellow. Mm-hmm. I got to like some sort of like treatment center, whether it was for wastewater or for like recycling, that just said Fort Collins on it. I hit almost a dead end. I was like,
wow.
I got very lucky. I was in like an industrial parking lot with no signage except for that. And my first thought was, having not spent any time in Fort Collins, I've been to Denver. I've been to Breckenridge in Colorado. It was kind of the old Dumb and Dumber line, if you've seen that. Like, I thought the Rocky Mountains were a bit rockier than this. That John Denver's full of shit, man. Yes. And so I was like, surely this can't be the Fort Collins, which is like northern Colorado. But I knew of nothing else, and so I was pleased that I got within range. But kind of like with the bus, I had nothing going for me that Ryder had in Perth. And I just saw Fort Collins on some sort of industrial sign, and that was right. enough for me.
And that takes that knowledge of just knowing, you know, cities, right? Like, you yes. don't really need to know much about it other than the name. And if a city is, you know, displaying their names on things, there you go. That is, and a lot of businesses do that. That's a great tip there, is that, you know, look at the businesses, and a lot of them just name themselves city name, business name, Fort Collins spa treatment or whatever it is, you know? So it's little context clues like.
Well, let's transition then off the map, Karen, and having played for 5 years now, if you had to give one tip to someone starting tomorrow on how to get good at this game, what would you tell them?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. There are so many tips, and a lot of them, I'm sure, are super technical. But I think the best tip I can give is just really, I know this is not exciting, but just getting a feel for places. Getting a feel for what a place looks like in general. And I think that in the long run will really help you out, because you don't have to spend as much time looking for context clues if you can look at the soil color and be like, oh shit, that's South Africa, right? So there are little things that you can kind of just pick up on intuitively over time. They might not help in a pinheads tournament, but they'll definitely make the game more enjoyable for you.
Awesome. That's a great tip. And Karen, just first, before we bid farewell, thank you for joining us on the first episode of Pinheads. We're excited to see you and see how you're going to do for the rest of this tournament. For those people out there, we know you have an incredible photography business. How can people find you? How can people learn about what you do and anything that you want to plug and share with the audience?
Sure. Yeah. So you can find me at Not Karen on Instagram. That's NotCaryn. Just post some GeoGuessr stuff. I do a GeoGuessr photography series where I just take screenshots of the game and how I feel about it. You can also find me at KarenSandoval.com. And I also own a photography business with my husband. It's called One Apparatus. So OneApparatus.com. Check us out if you have time.
Will do. It's some awesome stuff, as I was able to check it out before we started recording.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Karen, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck in the rest of the tournament.
Oh, thank you so much. I am going to need it against you all.
We'll be back next week. We'll have map number 2 dropping again, a map a week for 8 weeks, 8 rounds, anybody's game. This is Pinheads, the GeoGuessr podcast.
See you next week.